Welcome to Wolfden Saturday Set, the best show on TV. We are back on the tools for another week. How have the tools been this week, Kingzone? They weren't producing much last week.
Oh, about square, I think. I haven't added up. I've just been looking forward, putting my head down and doing my best. It's nothing. Haven't been hitting the ball out of the park, but yeah, I'm not sure to tell you the truth.
State of Origin last night, you're out
strip
there?
Out. Complete strip out. Right. Yeah, I did go out there. We're going to talk State of Origin.
We'll talk a little bit later. I tried to warn you.
I've got a lot to say.
Okay, good. I tried to warn you into falling in New South Wales again, but you did it again. Anyway, we'll talk about it.
You tipped Queensland 1-12 and Tedesco man of the match. You didn't tip anything. Fitzy,
how are you, mate?
I'm very good. How are you two?
We're great, mate. That's off to a good start.
Great start. I love it.
Let's get into it with our feature races. So the Queensland Winter Carnival just keeps going from strength to strength. The Oaks this weekend, it's a great race. A 2,200-metre race, Group 1, of course. Completely dominated by Chris Waller. He's effectively got the top four in the market because Molly Bloom will go into his care after this race. And then he's also got Scarlet Oak Ahariri, mare of Mount Buller. Scarlet Oak, everyone agrees she's a horse on the rise. But has the Oaks come up too quickly for her?
Seems a bit short to me, Scarlet Oak. I'm not betting in this race is the first thing I'll say, but I just want to talk about different form lines. So the obvious form line is the Scarlet Oak race last start, but behind Scarlet Oak there were two very good runs in the race. Miss Jolene, who ran the best 600 of the day, and also Mare of Mount Buller, who was held up a bit in the straight and ran the last 200. So if you're looking for a bit of value behind the favourite, those two are the two to go with, I think. Another form line is to think about is a lot of these horses have been up for a long time. They're only three-year-old fillies. They're going to 2,200. The horse that hasn't been is the horse that come over from New Zealand, Molly.
Yeah,
Molly Bloom.
Yep.
Only had two runs, so that's another form line. Another form line is Ahariri coming over from the SA Derby. We saw what Warmonger did in that race last week. So there's three different sort of form lines and three different ways you can look at this race. That's a really interesting race. For me, it's too tricky.
So you're staying out, Fizzle? What did you think, mate?
Too tricky. I'm with Kings. I don't have much more to add to what he just said. Everything you said was correct there, Kings. I had number 12, Our Gold Hope. Posse's up a bit nicer. It's not hopeless. I thought that Molly Bloom, Miss Jolene went straight past it, extra 200 metres. The differential in price there seems a bit off to me. Molly Bloom's $5. It's, I think, $18 or something like that, Miss Jolene, or something like that maybe. Very hard. And Ahariri coming out of Adelaide could be the one.
What about Good Banter line? About 20-1? Beat Autumn Angel and the Adrian Knox.
Yeah, it didn't come up on mine. It didn't have that in my top six numbers.
20-1.
A lot of them are very, very close together.
Yeah. All right, we've got to keep moving. We're going to go to Eagle Farm Race 9, the Morton Cup. It's a 1,200-metre race, Group 2. It's a win and you're in for the Stradbroke. But I don't think any horses that, if they did win this, would feature that heavily in the Stradbroke. You've got Opal Ridge and also Valana. They're about 50-1 in Stradbroke betting. Okay. Opal Ridge is a bit of a friend of yours. You tipped it a couple of weeks back and it won well. What are you going to do with
I didn't really find Opal Ridge at the farm on Saturday. I'm with numbers 2 and 3, Marzu and Valana.
If we've got the AI screen up there too, which articulates it quite well. You've got Valana, 112 bullet rating, and Marzu, 96.
Yeah, I'm going to back them both. I'm not going to go crazy in this race. Marzu obviously prefers the sting out of the ground. It's been pretty sunny up there this week. It's a soft five at the moment. I expect it to be a good track. Marzu can run on a good track. It's not like Marzu can't go, but certainly seems to perform better on a heavy track. But this is a big class drop. Marzu's been running in much better races than this. Drawn out in 10 as well. We saw Eagle Farm was playing off the fence a bit on Saturday, so should sit third, fourth, fifth off the fence, which I think will probably be the place to be again. The other ones are Valana, got too far back last start over 1350. 1200, just looks ready to peak. Those are my two, Fizz.
Tough race, lots of speed here, lot of speed horses. So Eagle Farm, normally the speed horses aren't as well suited as a place like maybe like Doomben. I was worried about Marzu. I think it really loves the wet. So for me, I was a stay out. Valana hasn't won at 1,200, 1,400, I think it's distance range. So I'm a little bit against Kings. I'm not going to bet against him. If I was, it was going to be the big goodbye. I thought it was a good hope at around the $10 mark.
Very good. So we're going to move on to Belmont Race 8, which is the Racon Tour Stakes. It's a three-year-old. It's another feature race. Mm. And we're going to keep up the momentum of this being your Saturday set. Mm. Let's have a look at the AI screen up there. We've got Generosity and the Boss Lady, well clear of all other horses. And you can see there you've got My Jimmy and Ricciano, Consider Laying and Lays, and they're sort of quite close in the market as well. So it's really as good as AI gets, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I love it when there's a lot of colour on the screen, especially a bit of red mixed in with the green. But those two, top two are so well clear that I am going to make them two official Saturday set tips. Generosity to start with, I'm going to wait on the price. Drawn Closer will sit closer, but Barrier 1, I just thought 380 at the moment. I think we can wait on that. I am keen to step into the Boss Lady at 550 early. 1-6 from 9 seems better value at the moment than what Generosity is, and looks to have plenty of upside. So I'm really keen on those two horses in the race. I've also got another horse there consider backing.
Mm-hmm. Super Smink.
The Smink, yeah, but I just think class drop, but not going that well this prep. So, and the other two are well clear. We can't back them all, so... I'm going with those two, and I'm making them both official Saturday set tips.
Anything to add to that race, Fizzer?
I've found the same two horses. They both came out of the same race. Generosity sat closer than the Boss Lady.
Yeah.
Wasn't a lot of tempo in that race last start, and the Boss Lady probably hit the line better than anything coming from last. I think the Boss Lady will get a better run this time in. Generosity will get back on the fence. So it worries me a little bit because it's the type of horse that needs to get to the outside. I think Generosity, big horse. I'm with Kings, same two numbers, the Boss Lady, better value.
Okay. There's some great racing in Victoria over the weekend. We've got the three-day Swan Hill Carnival. I bet you wish you'd be there for the whole 3 days. We've got a big meeting at Flemington on Saturday, and a huge amount of it revolves around the VRC Winter Series Final, which comes to a crescendo on July the 6th. 7 of the 9 races at Flemington on Saturday are part of the VRC Winter Series Final. Mm-hmm. I picked out one feature race for us to look at, which is Flemington Race 4, the Sally Francis Plate. Benchmark 84 over 2,520 metres, part of the Banjo Patterson series. So the favourite, Quantum Cat. It's come over from the UK. That man, Chris Waller, again, trains it. Down from Sydney. It's had 3 starts in Australia since it came from the UK. Keeps improving. Saturday looks its day.
Very keen.
Ooh.
Official Saturday set Bang. Is Quantum Cat. Sectional domination. Upside. Seawaller. D-Lane. Drew wide last time. Going to get a nice run. You want me to keep going? 2,400, tick, tick. A lot of these horses are coming from 2,000 metres. I think there's one down the bottom that had raised 2,400, but a lot are going 2,400 up to the 2,500. Mm-hmm. Real keen, early bet, going to get stuck in.
Wow,
and
there
bet
it is,
right
the
up.
AI screen up there as well, just to show it's well clear of all the other horses on the bullet rating. It does also say AI is free this Saturday. Don't forget, AI is free across all meetings for anyone who's a Wolf Den member, so make sure you jump onto Wolf Den AI this weekend. Fizzer, what did you make of the race?
Two hopes for me, Quantum Cat and Berkshire Breeze. Both horses look to have upside. Like King said, Quantum Cat probably got out of its ground too far last start, came up the inside and maybe just ran out of steam late. I think it'll be very, very hard to beat. They're both around the, I think you can get maybe 380 and 480 or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad race to have two plays in. So maybe be two plays for me on the weekend.
The Cat won't be starting 380.
Might not start 380 for sure.
King's Own's going to make sure of that.
Cat won't be starting 380.
Fizzer, I know you've got a few more tips at Flemington in your Saturday sets. So I look forward to getting them a little bit later. And just before we move on from Victoria, so the Swan Hill meeting, we always like to innovate here on the Saturday set, and you've actually got a Friday set tip. You got a tip
I do?
For us.
Yeah.
You got a tip for us on Friday in the Golden
I
Top
do.
Ads,
I'm trying to look ahead.
Which is part of the... VRC Winter Series Final. It's a $150,000 race at Swan Hill on Friday.
Yes.
What did you find for us there?
Swan Hill Race 7, number 8, Pressdown, which is coming over from South Australia. Ran absolutely flying this prep. Ran in 2 Group 3s and 1 in really fast time at Murray Bridge last start. Draws out in, I think, 10. Will get across and sit outside Fancify, or either that or go to the lead, and I just think we'll be too strong over the 1,200. Price at the moment's around the $3 mark. I think anything above $2 is value.
And is it an official Saturday set tip?
It is. If I'm allowed to have an official Saturday set tip on a Friday, I would love to throw it in.
Fantastic.
This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Ladbrokes. Join Ladbrokes today and support the show by using the code GALLOP. Take on the fun this winter carnival with the Ladbrokes app, loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker, so you can see where the big bets land, yard comments to give you the on-course insights straight from the parade ring, and Black Book, so you can add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. So take on the fun and Ladbroke it this winter carnival.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
Do you want to just finish off your Saturday set? Would you mind just quickly rehashing? I think you might have given us four Saturday set tips already, or five or something.
Yeah, let's go from the start. So my first one was the cat in Flemington race four, number three, the Quantum Cat.
Yep.
Then we're going to Belmont race eight, numbers 9 and 10.
Yep.
And then we've got our Friday Swan Hill race seven, number eight.
New
in there
special
as well.
Feature. New special
promotion. Press down. And I've got one more. This is for Saturday. Belmont race seven, number two, Rope Them In. Has actually never missed a place at Belmont. Loves the sting out of the ground and he's clearly the best horse in the race. There was no price up when I had a look this morning. Fizzer tells me $2.30 at the moment, WA which I think is a great price. Yeah. So that's my Saturday set. If I don't back two out of three winners, I am going to be extremely upset, but it ain't going to happen.
Very good. I like your confidence. I feel good about this week. Fizzer, can we get your official Saturday set, please?
Sure, no worries. I'll start in Flemington. I've got a couple there. I've gone for a young horse, had one start, race three, number 12, Patoka Chief. Really nice debut win at Pakenham. 1600 actually was its first up win, and it's going to attack the 1600. It'll get back. D Lane aboard. I'm sure I'll give it a peach, and I hope he comes storming down the centre. I'm going to race six in Flemington, number 12, Silent Sorrente. Huge run against a good horse, See What I See, last start in Adelaide. Only just got pipped. See What I See was Caulfield Cup favourite prior to that. So if that's any...
Anytime any horse runs all right over 2,000 metres, they just straight away put it up favourite. Warmonger's favourite for Caulfield Cup now.
Is it now? Yeah. Right.
Scarlet Oak will win by six and it'll be favourite for Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see what I see. Silent Sorrente, big run. It sat outside the leader on a hot tempo and they both fought it out in the straight, so I'm pretty keen on it. I'm going to Morpheville race nine, number one, layer upon layer. Just go straight to the front. She'll be winning is my thoughts. And then Belmont race five, number four, Fluoro Neuro. Trial was nice. I'm no pot to the favourite, but it's going for six in a row, the fave, and there's more speed in this race this time. Fluoro Neuro will be smoking its pipe at the tail of the field. And I think Pike might get us one home here.
Great work, mate. Thank you very much. The A-Sets tips, here they are. Chris Camilleri, Ramnick race five, number nine, Redbreast. Forgiving the last start performance on the Gold Coast when the filly dropped out sharply late. At peak fitness third up and has a superior early speed to lead and make them chase over the suitable 1,600 metres. Dream Team, Eagle Farm, race seven, number one, La Creek. Perfectly placed at weight for age. Drawn off the fence, J-Mac on. The Kiwi can continue the recent run of success of New Zealand horses in Australia. Dan O, Morfettville Parks, race three, number one, Master Montaro. Unsuited last start over 1,400 metres when he led and raced keenly. Back to 1,250 metres with good prior ratings and an ideal map has appeal. That's the A set. We've got to keep rolling. RI staking plan is up there on the screen. It's been very poor the last few weeks. I've knocked off 17 units. Unacceptable. I will do much better this week. We move to another disappointing feature. The Quaddy hasn't been doing very well either. But this week, we all sat down together and we thought we needed to bring some fresh blood in. So we've got Trell Mitt, who's very passionate about his punting. Editor extraordinaire sitting over there. He's put the final touches on it. And we think, hoping that will be the change up that we need. There it is there. Play along if you want as well. Accountability time. There it is, King Zone.
What am I at? My eyes are gone.
Look, the positive thing is that we're all in profit. So starting with you, you're $86 in profit. 3.34% percentage on turnover. Look, it's times are tough.
$86. Does that mean I can buy a subscription to go and watch the T20 World Cup on Paramount? How much are they whacking everyone up for that? T20 World Cup.
I heard there was a rant.
Well, we got BeIN Sports, we got Paramount, we got Prime, we got Foxtel.
I got warned that you wanted a rant about something. Is that what it is?
I'm filthy on all these subscriptions that are coming out when you want to watch sport. Optus for the World Cup soccer.
I would like to chime in there.
I don't know how much it costs.
Foxtel has a channel dedicated to cricket. It's called Fox Cricket.
Right.
And they're not showing the World Cup. Well, that'll just do me. What are we paying for? Replays of 2020 matches. There you go.
How much? Does anyone know how much it is to watch?
I never think about it. I mean, it's pretty small.
You just pay it.
Sorry?
You just pay it. I don't worry about it. Just put it on the card.
Do you want to tell everyone how much you lost on New South Wales last
I don't even know because I haven't added it up yet.
So you don't know how much streaming servers are and you don't know how much you lost on New South Wales.
I haven't added it up yet because it would be page after page after page and I'm not going to do it.
Fair enough. All right, let's go back to the accountability section. So it's all there. Everyone's doing okay. We are trying our best. Stick with us.
Try.
It'll get red
you
hot.
You need to lift. Like you started wrapping yourself a bit. I know. The staking plan. Come on, mate.
It'll get red hot before you know it. And you just got to hang in there. We've been doing this for a really long time, and that's how it always goes. It's always darkest before the dawn. We can move on from that. So it's Origin review time.
Beautiful.
Up.
Yes, Let's talk.
Okay, so
we're going to review Origin 2 or are we going to review Origin? We'll preview Origin 2?
I think what
we're going to look ahead or we're going to look backwards?
Well, for our Victorian viewers, and there's a lot of them, Origin 2 will be an absolute belter at the MCG. I think we know that. And
we're going?
Like, we know that you guys support sport better than anyone else, so no doubt it'll be a full house. No, we won't be there. I can't see us getting down there realistically. But Suali, you think that it shouldn't have been a send-off?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I mean, the most important thing in any game is player welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And Reece Walsh sort of he fell a little bit. Swale he lined him up, which he's done for the Roosters plenty of times, and was looking to hammer him. Certainly not intentionally, but he was looking to go into his sternum. So I'll ask a question: if he did hit him in the sternum, is that a shoulder charge?
Well, my thing is that Reece Walsh, I believe, slipped a little bit.
But was it a shoulder charge?
If Reece Walsh hadn't slipped, I reckon he would have hit him on the shoulders, neck, and probably still would have been a lot in trouble.
Yeah, so it would have been a penalty anyway.
Probably, yeah. Saying? Like, I thought it was verging on a shoulder charge. I just thought it was
bad technique, wasn't it? I'm not saying he shouldn't have been sent off, but what I am saying is that there was 80,000 people out there. After 8 minutes into the game, someone gets sent off and it ruins the game. So what I think should happen is that he gets sent off
for 20 minutes?
No, maybe a substitute.
I think he should get sent off for 20 minutes and
he can't come back on.
The 18th man then comes back on. Yes. I think that's a great alternative. But yes. I think send-offs like that in a way should be for deliberate acts.
Yes.
That wasn't deliberate.
Like, I think they should.
He didn't try and hit him in the head, but yeah. No acts are really deliberate. No one's going out there to. But he's their best player. It's Origin. He would be wanting to take him out. Like, I heard on the radio leading up to it, Reece Walsh put up the bomb and come and hammer him sort of thing. Like, everyone wants that. Mm. If he had have hit him and hit him really hard and taken him out and been that much lower, everyone would have said, oh, what a hero he is, you know, took him out. This is Origin spirit. So it's a really fine line.
Suali set himself up, it was always going to end badly. At worst, he was going to like hit him in a pretty dangerous position. At worst, he was going to do what he did, which was like horrific to see. If there's anything else to add about the game or anything, mate?
No, mate, I was a bit disappointed with the send-off. It is Origin. I think it ruined the whole game. Whether or not that's part of what they want to do, I don't know. The rules have definitely changed of late. You know, 2024, though, that was a send-off in a club game for sure. I agree. State of Origin, I think it should be different. I don't know the solution, so I don't have it, so I probably shouldn't.
The bigger picture is defending class actions that might come later on
head injuries.
You know, head injuries. Yeah. That's where they sort of – so they do sort of –
But there's been a very, very, in a way.
But that's why I like the 20 minutes, 18th man. Yep. No one loses.
Yep.
Because Queensland paid a penalty for that, obviously, as well, with Reece Walsh not playing the rest of the game.
Mm.
So New South Wales have to pay a penalty during the game. And I think that 20 minutes is a penalty. And Swalee not coming back as well is a penalty. And then they're playing 18th man. And then it's game on again.
Just closing Everyone's off, a winner. Billy Slater, who's a great horse racing man, he's a really impressive coach, isn't he? You can sort of see in the coaching box, he's so organised. He's just, it's inspiring to watch what he's done, isn't it?
Yeah, Freak. One of my favourite players, and now you can't put a foot wrong. Yeah. How good is he?
Yeah, good on him.
He's a Freak.
Talking about State of Origin, next week we're doing a live stream for the Queensland Greyhound Winter Racing Carnival. We're partnering up with Racing Queensland to give their Queensland Greyhound Winter Racing Carnival a bit of a pump up. We're going to do a live stream next Thursday night between about 7:30 and 9 o'clock at night. So all the best dogs in New South Wales are going to go up to Albion Park and take on the best dogs from Queensland. It's going to be an outstanding night of racing. You all seem to really enjoy when we do live streams, so we're going to get really well prepared. Jason Campbell, who's at the moment tipping way better than anybody else, he will be our quarterback.
He will be silly in the last live stream.
Tom Brady, I told you, why don't you just not bet? And you said you'd rather do less.
No, I'm not coming into the live stream and not betting. Yeah. But I did go a bit silly last time.
Well, Matt,
that won't stop me next time.
No, I think you'll find a way this time. I think you'll be a bit more organised, and I think we'll do really well. So make sure you come and join in on that. Merch next week, our winter merch range drops. You can see this is very nice, classy shirt. You could probably wear this with the missus on a date and she wouldn't blow up, even though it does say Wolf Den, but quite classy. So we've got a whole lot of great merch dropping next week, so make sure you check that out and go and buy some merch. And I always try to leave you with a bit of a pump up, and I think this will pump you boys up as well. So on Sunday, the Punting Nation really loved J-Mac and Romantic Warrior doing what they did in Tokyo. I feel like in years to come, everyone will remember the time that Romantic Warrior shit in in Tokyo. You know, there's been some great moments over the years. Nature Strip shitting in Black Caviar overseas. Go back to Better Loosen Up, winning the Japan Cup, all that kind of stuff. I think it'll be in the folklore of Australian racing, which is interesting because Romantic Warrior is not even an Australian horse. If you really want to drill down on it, J-Mac's not even an Australian jockey, but I think we all got
a
real sense of pride out of it. And I came across this little nugget of gold on Twitter. It's a VRC clip, the Victorian Racing Club. They're over in Japan promoting the Melbourne Cup, and they had a bit of a chat with J-Mac after the race. They put it up on Twitter, racing.com put it up as well. And I just liked it for its simplicity. J-Mac talking about how much going over there and winning meant to him, how much Romantic Warrior means to him, and how much the success that he's having means to him. He doesn't take for granted. Seems a really, really good bloke. I know you know him a little bit. I don't know him at all. But here it is. Please enjoy it. Long live the great game. Up the Den. See you next week.
That was very, very special. There's no words for it. He just keeps delivering every time. And everything went really well all week. It's been smooth sailing for him. So to win such a prestigious race away from home, it's so, so special. And the reception we received after the race was just something that only one particular race in Australia that would help. We dream of those runs in big races because it doesn't happen very often, but everything went really well from the start. I thought on Thursday when the barriers come out from barrier 7, I think he's undefeated from barrier 7. He's won 2 Hong Kong Cups, and Cox played them now, Yoshida Kinnon. So he obviously, barrier 7's very lucky for him, and everything just went totally to plan. He's best. When you ride such good horses, you hate comparing them, but very lucky to have ridden champion race horses over certain distances, and he's definitely the king of a mile to 2,000. He's got a phenomenal will to win. He positions so well. He's absolutely push button to ride every time, and his courage, his will to win is phenomenal. He just doesn't know how to lay down, and he loves winning. His record speaks for that, and I'm just very proud to be on his back. They're just so passionate, and it gives you the warmest welcome every time, and it's been an absolute honour to be here, that's for sure. It's been a long week building up to this, but and now it's like all the adrenaline's just flooded out of me, so I'm running on the smell of an oily rag at the moment, but I'm glad we got the victory. It's every jockey's dream, and from 15-year-old kid growing up in New Zealand, it's beyond my wildest dreams, so I don't take it for granted. I'm very lucky, and those horses, the champion horses that I've ridden, have taken me around the world. So, it's without them, I'm nothing.